wanted to talk about scriptures, but there's so many current events out here that I want to touch on them first before we talk about any kind of scripture. And that is, well, the first one is about Joel Osteen's church shooting. And so on February 18th of this year, they held special services for people to heal from this tragedy that everybody says that they never dreamed that we'd have to deal with such a week after a deadly shooting like that. You know, but everybody says that, you know, if there's any kind of a tragedy in any neighborhood or shooting or whatever, never thought it would happen here in this city or here in this neighborhood or, you mm-hmm. know, but it does no matter where you are.
Mm-hmm.
But this article came from, this article was sent to me, and it was talking about the woman or the person who did the shooting. Her last name is Marino. She's 36 years old. The mother-in-law of the shooter alleged that long before her deadly confrontation with off-duty police officers, her family reached out to pastors for help with the mentally troubled Marino, who publicly claimed that she was a member of the congregation. She said that her former daughter-in-law worshiped at Lakewood Church, and they were in a her and her ex-husband were in a custody battle over the son, over the woman's grandson, and they said that when they searched their records, they could only find that she attended church sporadically for a couple of years and beyond.
How would they know that?
I don't know. I mean, they must kind have some kind of a record.
Well, you
have
to sign in order to go into the church. I mean, that doesn't sound right. How would they know? She could have been.
I think that they do that. I don't know. I saw some little article that has like a record of attendance. You know, but I don't know. But they haven't found any records showing that her mother attended services or, you know. So I don't know. But. If we had reached out and Marino had accepted counseling, then we definitely would have been more than happy to provide that. So Marino's ex-husband, who is incarcerated, told a judge that she would physically attack him on multiple occasions and chase him out of the house with knives. The custody battle over their son started in Harris County, Texas, but ended in Montgomery County. And the ex-husband was granted custody of the son. But then there was a new trial in Montgomery, which awarded custody to Marino, even though the boy's paternal grandmother had asked the judge to appoint her as temporary conservator after she pointed out that Marino had schizophrenia and didn't always take her prescribed medication. In his testimony to a Harris County judge, Enrique Carranza said he wasn't told about the birth of his son until a month after he was born, and Marino had told the hospital that he was dead, so he had no idea. In documents filed in Montgomery County, Wally Carranza said Marino and her mother knowingly and intentionally harmed Samuel by lying to authorities for reasons hard to understand even by the pastoral staff at Joel Osteen's church. So there's a continuing investigation. There's a lot of controversy around the shooting, around what the woman is like. So I think the best thing to do is just to pray for everybody involved.
Oh, yeah.
Pray for everyone involved. And then, so now this... article was sent to me. It came from the Christian Post, and I had to do a double take on this because I didn't quite understand it. Mm-hmm. It says college. Well, the headlines say campus pastor says he was unprepared for a backlash. College LGBT Ash Wednesday event claims the Bible's condemnation of homosexuality is Christian fake news. So two Christian student organizations are facing backlash over their sponsorship of a LGBT Ash Wednesday event that claimed Christianity is often a face of intolerance and the gospel endorses homosexuality. The event called the Glitter Plus Ash event.
Okay.
Which was scheduled to be held on campus at Fort Hays State University in Kansas, was sponsored by Us For You, a student-led interfaith group, and the United Methodist Campus Ministry. News of the event went viral after conservative influencer Libs of TikTok shared a screenshot of the event announcement and that bore the official FHSU logo. In response, the school spokesperson released a statement defending the inclusion of the university brand mark on the announcement, adding it was not intended to serve as an affirmed or implied endorsement of the beliefs and views held by or expressed by any student organization. The listing for the Glitter Ash Wednesday event says the purpose of the effort is to let the world know we are progressive, queer, positive Christians.
Mm.
Now, how can you do that? How can you be that?
By being delusional and deceiving yourself.
After claiming the public face of Christianity is often a face of intolerance, especially toward LGBT-identified people, the listing disputes the notion that the God of Christianity condemns homosexuality and transgenderism. This is Christian fake news, not the good news of Jesus, it said. So, I don't know. For up to $15 per bottle, the organization also sells glitter blessings.
What?
Glass nail polish style vials.
Now, how do they make that scriptural? How do they do that?
That parody says, contain frankincense, scented holy oil from Jerusalem, and biodegradable rainbow glitter, enough for 100 people to receive a blessing that celebrates LGBT people as beloved and created by a loving God. Now, what was it, a couple weeks ago we were talking about, what is it that we were talking about a couple weeks ago, how there's going to be a
great falling away.
Mm-hmm. Apostasy. And what do you think this proves?
Right. That all they're doing is bringing all that abomination into the church, and that people, their heart is far from God. They're going through the formalities, but they're denying the power thereof. They have a form of godliness, but it's not, it's like the five foolish virgins. There is no oil. There is no anointing. There is no spiritual approval of God in their actions. They're just going through being approved by man.
So the group also includes a glitter blessing for Transfiguration Sunday from Reverend Danielle Wilson of the UK's Inclusive Gathering Birmingham, which suggests that Jesus' transfiguration on the Mount was a demonstration of his shining, glittering, and otherworldly divinity. Jesus has passed on the God sparkle, so that we too might be transformed into sources of glimmering, glittering, light and gritty, scandalous hope, shining and sparkling just like Jesus. Not everyone understands or accepts our kind of sparkle, but we sparkle nonetheless.
Well, yeah, okay.
And then I found this article on My Christian Daily. Now, keep in mind the great falling away. So the great falling away, in my opinion, has nothing to, it's like moving totally away from Jesus.
Right.
And has nothing to do with Jesus. It has everything to do with what's going on in your mind.
Yes.
Or in your heart.
In your flesh.
Right. So here is a ban on AI tools that allows users to digitally undress women and children.
What? Say it again?
There's an AI nudify tool.
Okay.
That digitally will undress women and children.
How?
In Britain.
I mean, well, how does that work? What do you do? Take a picture of somebody and then upload it to the app? And then it takes off the person's clothes and imagines what they would look like underneath their garments?
it was banned.
Weird.
It was banned. And
if it was banned,
almost 8 out of 10 Brits.
But you know, even though it's banned, they're going to be able to get to it then. Just because it's banned doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
So to answer your question, I don't know exactly how it would work, but technology now exists to take any picture, however innocent, and use artificial intelligence to turn it into a naked pornographic image.
Well, they're using AI. I don't know why they call it AI. I mean, they're using the computer to take images, and then they digitally rearrange whatever is in there, and they have, like, I saw something of Trump playing golf, and then they gave him a big belly, you know, and he was so upset by it. And I've seen them digitally alter certain images, you know, and they get so good at it now until you can't tell. That's why I used to say photography or photographs or films or videos to me were the least reliable, because people have the ability to manipulate them. So when they say, here, I got a picture, I caught it on camera, I look at them and I say, okay. But I put no stock in it because it's so easily manipulated.
Mm-hmm. So here's an article from My Christian Daily. Keep in mind the great falling away from Jesus. That's what it is about. The great falling away is going in your own way.
Mm-hmm.
There, a D.C. medical examiner was told to dispose of baby bodies in spite of it being a federal crime. A letter has been sent to Congressman Jim Jordan asking for the scheduled destruction of the remains of 5 dead bodies, babies, to be halted. The 5 dead babies suspected of being victims of illegal and very late-term abortions are the main subject of a letter to Congressman Jordan. He's being asked to halt the scheduled destruction of these infant remains and investigate the deaths as evidence of a federal crime in Washington, D.C. They were recovered by a medical waste truck driver outside of Washington Surgical Clinic Abortion, a business operated by Dr. Santangelo. The baby's masticated corpses were handed over to Lauren Handy. And the images of the fully matured babies, which My Christian Daily obtained access to, cannot be published as they're too disturbing.
Hmm.
So with no autopsies performed on their nearly full-term carcasses and no investigation into their deaths, there is no ability to conclude that the pre-born children were legally aborted. When I was scanning over this article, it says that they believe that the babies were born alive.
Mm.
And this doctor confesses that if a baby he aborts is born alive, he will not assist it. They just set it aside and it just struggles.
Isn't that insane?
5 deceased babies, which the medical examiner has planned to destroy, all died very late term, bearing signs of live birth and partial birth abortion. One of those infants died or was killed at what is clearly more than 30 weeks gestation, well beyond the point of viability. The 5 infants were recovered in March of 22, and these babies were boxed up with the remains of more than 115 aborted children. Hmm. But what I guess I read this article because I'm thinking about, we have to follow the law. We have to make sure that we do whatever the government says. But here there's a federal law that says that you can't dispose of these. There was a crime that was committed. The babies were aborted very, very late term.
Mm-hmm.
Probably struggled and alive after they were aborted.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're told to just destroy.
The evidence.
Destroy the evidence, right.
Get rid of it.
And so, well, that'll cover up the federal crime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so all this is coming from the top. I mean, it's like, it's coming from the head. You know, the head of the government, the head of, you know, and the leaders, we're supposed to be following leaders. And if we follow the leaders, we're going to be corrupt as well. You know, so anyway, moving on. Here's an article that was sent to me from the Christian Post. And this, I think, is just really ridiculous. There is a teen facing felony charges for leaving tire marks on an LGBT Progress Pride intersection. Okay, so here is an intersection, and it was painted in rainbow colors. And, you know, in an intersection, people in cars go over it. People in cars go over it. But this teen is facing felony charges because he left tire burnout marks on the street intersection. Now, if you didn't want anything to happen to those that painted intersection, why did you paint it on the street where people walk, where cars go by, where cars roll over it? I don't get that. And then you go ahead, and because somebody had tire marks, put tire marks on there, you're going to charge him with a felony? Does that make any sense? I don't get that. So video footage shared by the city, taken early morning hours on February 4th, showed a black truck driving over the intersection and leaving burnout marks.
They didn't like that. I know.
But is that worth a felony, to charge somebody with a felony?
They're trying to charge him with a hate crime?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not worth.
So he turned himself in. He turned himself in to Delray Beach Police, and then was charged with a felony mischief of over $1,000 in reckless driving. I mean, if you don't want it marred, why put it on the street where cars go over it? I don't get that.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's not that they don't want it marred. I'm thinking they don't want it purposely defaced through, like, extra means, like burning out your tires on the face of it because you don't agree with it. It's supposed to be like an artistic statement, but I agree. They shouldn't be putting the artistic statements on the street then. Mm. That's like drawing something on the sidewalk and then somebody spits on the sidewalk and then you say, you done, you know, if they don't have if they have like this, some have a spitting law, some don't. But if they get upset and say, you just spit on that on purpose because you're trying to show disrespect to a piece of artwork, then why put the piece of artwork in a place where it could be actually defaced or damaged?
Well, he's not the first person to be charged for vandalism.
Right. It's like they deliberately put it someplace where it's easy to be damaged. And then they charge you, say you did it willfully. But, I mean, I guess this guy did do it willfully, which is probably why he turned himself in.
Honestly, everything is upside down in this world.
Yes.
So now here, here's an article that came from Christian Headlines. And NBC edited out a winning quarterback's praise of Jesus in a post-game interview. So, there was a historic win, and there was a Houston Texans quarterback, C.J. Stroud, and he wanted to make sure God got the glory first. He was the NFL's Rookie of the Year finalist, led the team to victory, and was interviewed immediately afterward by NBC about the Texans' trip to the playoffs. And he said, "First and foremost, I just want to give all glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's known for being such a great athlete, but also for his deep Christian faith in real life and on social media." And he's just upfront. He's just right. upfront about so now it. He's not ashamed. He just says, because he
believes. Right. But now what he has to do, he has to say it in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end, in order to make it difficult for them to edit it out.
So they say NBC is more inclined to tolerate someone who thanks God because it's vague. But the name of Jesus is not vague.
Right. If he was Muslim and he said, "I thank Allah," I believe they would have left it. You know, but the name of Jesus, like the Lord says, they're going to despise his name. He said, but that cornerstone that they refused, that cornerstone to the foundation, they're going to have to bow.
So they said that if he had said Mother of God or the divine light within.
Anything except for the name of Jesus.
Right. Right. So, you know, they just edited that out. And I think that's terrible.
I do too.
That's NBC. For you.
Mm-hmm.
And here I got a couple of articles sent to me about this, one from Christian Headlines, one from the Christian Post, and it's in Montana. Republican Governor Greg Gianforte said officials followed state policy in a case concerning Christian parents who claimed they lost custody of their daughter after they refused to allow her to undergo experimental medicalization.
So they took her from the family?
They removed the teen daughter from All right. her parents.
Well, I would say, this is what I would say. The daughter must have been determined to have the procedure. And I would say, good. They remove you from our custody, so we're not held responsible. And so years later, when you come to yourself and realize what a mistake you made, you can't blame us. Yeah. In that sense, I would be relieved. Because if I would have a child that was so rebellious and so intent on ruining themselves, I wouldn't want it to fall on me.
Well, anyway, I don't understand. The world is upside down.
Yes.
That's part of the great falling away.
Right.
Falling away from Jesus.
And the Lord's going to give them
going
just
in
enough,
your own way.
Just enough rope to hang themselves.
And here's an article that came from the Christian Headlines. The push for polyamory is here.
Right.
So back in 2004, a collection of voices warned of the consequences of normalizing homosexuality.
Yeah.
And they were often mocked and dismissed for predicting how so-called gay marriage would usher in all kinds of other perversion.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll have to talk about that next week or continue, because this is ridiculous.
It is.
Yes, praise the Lord, and let everything that have breath praise the Lord. This week's verse of the day comes from 2 Peter Chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Now, ain't God all right?
God is all right. Praise the Lord. Last week's food for thought was, what did the Lord make for himself? And the answer is, all things. And that answer can be found in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4. And it reads, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. This week's food for thought is, what is not in good taste or acceptable for a fool? Hint, the Bible, and that's food for thought.